these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Writer and the Fighter. I'm your co-host, David Golden from OregonSportsNews.com. Joining me, my co-host, Jake the Half-Black Attack Smith from Bellator MMA. What up, dude?
A.K.A. formerly known as Little Bugatti. A.K.A. Emo Smitty. A.K.A. I don't have any more.
A.K.A. the Mailman.
Why?
I don't know, man.
What am I delivering?
Ass whoopings?
No, not as of recent.
like, kind of finished babies? Starbucks cups.
I didn't deliver that to anybody. I did demolish that though. I fucking murked that shit on the way here. I need my coffee before I podcast. I feel like I need it. It helps, like, you know, perk me up a little bit.
We recorded one time at night, and I was like, oh, Jake's gonna show up over here. He's gonna have his Starbucks with him. And he was like, no, I can't have caffeine after like 7:30.
Yeah, dude, I can't be doing that. I can't be fucking around. I don't know how people do it, man. There's some people who just drink coffee all day.
Oh, dude, I can drink like a soda, go to bed, drink coffee.
Oh, I can do that. Yeah, dude, I'll eat fucking like. Well, what I've been doing for the past week is I've been eating like three king size like candy bars a night. Before bed.
Depression mode.
Yeah, dude. You know what? Jack in the Box churros. I highly recommend those.
Dude, those little mini churros.
Dude, they're so good.
They're so good.
Oh, shit. I just had them for the first time this week. I was like, holy fuck. How did I not know? And they're cheap as fuck, dude.
Yeah, dude. They're so cheap. Oh, Jack in the Box has the best, just like, weird oddball snacks.
Right?
Yeah,
They're embracing the stoner culture. And
oh, 100%.
That is so smart. It's a fucking marketing, like, landmine.
Yeah, man, they don't fuck around over there.
Yeah, so that's what's been going on with me. But hey, let's get this podcast rolling because we're talking about MMA here. And last night we had UFC Fight Night 7055.
Yep, 7055. I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I wonder what number it was. I bet you it'll tell me on this.
It's like 173 or some shit.
I don't know why they don't just name them the number instead of naming them who's fighting, or like,
yeah.
Or they used to give them the name like Ultimate Fight Night Revenge.
I kind of remember the old like UFC fucking the names with the rivalry.
Yeah. I miss those a little bit too, but yeah. But I'm glad they just put the number on them. I don't need all of the like razzmatazz. Like I'll never remember. Like I don't remember what UFC that Chuck and Randy one was on. Was it like Explosion?
Yeah.
You know? Who knows?
That was Redemption.
Somebody. Yeah.
It's always some fucking aggressive verb. I don't
know. Yeah, totally. But yeah, so last night was Ultimate Fight Night, Gaethje versus Vic, Justin Gaethje. There you go. That's how you say it, Gaethje. Man, what a weird last name that guy has.
Yeah, dude, for sure change that, you know?
Seriously, just...
Like, fuck your family lineage.
Yeah, man, make it phonetic so I can at least pronounce it.
Like, yeah, like, this is like G-A-T-H-J-E.
That's exactly how it's spelled. Good job.
Is there a fucking J in there?
So it can be Gaethje. Yeah, I don't know. Gaethje. I'm not into it.
I don't like
it. We already have a hard enough time pronouncing people's names, and then you throw a curveball like that.
I'm going to call him Garth. Justin Garth.
Sure. I'm going to call him Justin. I put James Vic to sleep. G.
You know, Vic was talking a lot of shit too.
And he was talking so much shit.
But the thing is, he was talking shit about everyone in the division. So that's like an even a double, like, fuck.
Yeah, it's a double whammy because he got knocked out bad.
Yeah. Did you see like the little post, like, it was like, or not post, pre like interview thing they were doing? It was like, they're asking him, like, okay, when you see this name, like, you know, give your response. And he's all like, Anthony Pettis. And James Vick's like, washed up. Oh, right. Like, you know, he's talking all this shit about all these fighters. And, yeah, man. I mean, I guess you kind of got to eat your words, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if if you're gonna get put to sleep like that, I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do about your chin. You know? Like if you take punches that way and that's how your body reacts, like you're not gonna be able to beat up all of those guys you say you're gonna beat up.
He's the Stefan Struve of 155.
Right. Only he knows how to fight long. Like way better than Stefan Struve. Like he's used to that. I mean, that's why he got where he got, is because he's used that length.
Uh-huh.
But even in this fight, he actually looked pretty good before he got knocked out.
Yeah, his kicks were solid.
Kicks were solid. He landed a kick punch combination that obviously rocked Gaethje a little bit.
Yeah, he was throwing these kicks, and then he'd immediately come right back with like a jab or something in his face right after every kick. Boom,
and throw. Yeah. But man, Gaethje got inside and had him against the fence. And I mean, that's left the other hook, thing is, you want to fight right long, but you let Justin Gaethje put you against the cage like almost immediately. That's not smart.
Well, you got to look at how Gaethje was kind of taking that. I mean, he does what he's always done, right? So Vic, I think, was thinking, all right, he's gonna shell up and kind of just eat my shot. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna kick his arms, right? Mm-hmm. Hurt his arms, because that's all he's gonna do is cover up and just try to move forward. And the thing is, though, is that Gaethje is so welcoming to pain that regardless of you hitting him and tagging him, he's not taking a step back at all. There's no sudden step back. So if you're throwing offense at him and he's eating it, right, and you're landing, but he's taking that step forward every time, you don't really have the time to readjust your position too much.
No, but you have to move laterally. You can't just move.
No, yeah, definitely. Like, but I think he was just thinking, like, fuck, he's a punching bag. Let me just... boom, let me take these shots out of him. Bop, bop, yeah, bop, maybe. Bop. And then, he just ended up against the cage. I don't know.
Yeah, and man, what an overhand right.
Yeah.
Put him down. Put him down hard, too.
I like the way he set it up, because it was, he threw a left hook, or a swinging left, right? Yeah. Just wide one. He wasn't even trying to hit him with it, honestly.
Yeah,
it
was like
he was trying to, he was trying to move him into his overhand right, which was smart, what Vic was actually moving, he was moving the right way, away from the cage. But once that left hook came, it made him change directions a little bit, and boom, came over top, and he was out.
Oh, he was out. So out.
Out.
So out. So out, in fact, that they got him up. He could barely stand up. They put him on a stool.
Yeah.
Justin Gaethje has already done a backflip off of the cage, jumped out of the cage, jumped back into the cage, did a front flip. Came over, talked to Vic's coaches, then went over to Vic, and Vic tried to shoot a double on him.
What? I didn't see that.
Yeah, tried to take him down off the stool because he thought the fight was still happening when he saw
him.
Whoa. Yeah, dude.
Wow.
That's bad.
That is fucking...
I'm glad that James Vic doesn't fight at 170.
I wouldn't mind him at 170 still.
I'm just saying, like,
he's still a problem for anybody in that division, straight up. But his chin is definitely, like, I didn't know he got he was knocked out by Dariush before this fight. They were talking about it. I was like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah.
So once I saw that, I was like, it makes sense, because he does. Yes, he does fight long, but when he does fight long, his chin is fucking straight up in the air.
Yeah, but I mean, even since that knockout, he had had, four more wins in a row. And so, I mean, I kind of get where he's coming from. He's probably looking at that and saying, you know what? Like, that's my one loss. Like, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Dariush is known for having good power, like, even for a smaller guy. But, not good.
No, yeah, I mean, it's just the way he strikes on it. Like I said, I've always watched Vic and kind of like, man, I don't know how he's winning, but he's winning, right? Yeah. Like, I always knew he posed a threat, but when you watch his striking, it's not pretty. It's not the most technically sound. Cause like I said, when he throws these punches, they're awkward. They're awkward punches when he throws them. And again, his chin just naturally rises.
Yeah, and I think part of it is, he does do that, right? He puts his chin
He's throwing combos, it starts to come up. It's weird. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for a guy who fancies himself a boxer.
Exactly.
It's a little weird. Exactly. But you look at the people he's fought, and you're like, okay, maybe it kind of makes more sense.
Because he fought
Ramzi Nijem. One of the better guys he fought was Jake Matthews he fought. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just... close this out. Jake Matthews he fought, and that he got him with a guillotine.
I would say these guys are kind of more wrestling based.
Then he fought He fought Darius. He fought Abel Trujillo. And Abel Trujillo can swing, but he's not like he's not exceptionally long. He's pretty compact, you know. And he submitted him, so you know, he probably got taken down. You know,
Is Abel still in the UFC?
Maybe.
I was talking to Rick about this on the plane ride home. I don't know why. We were talking about Abel just randomly. I was like, you know, that dude's fucking legit. But, oh, no, because we're talking about Khabib. And I was saying he's not that big of a dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, one of the hardest fights that he's had was against Abel.
Yeah.
You know, a really good wrestler. And, you know, you factor that in and you think about Kevin Lee and this and that and the other. And, but, yeah, point is, I was... Abel's a guy I feel like he's really legit, but I haven't heard about him ever since the last big win of his was Werner that I remember.
He had the win against Werner. He had a win against Gleison Tibau,
which I don't know how that guy's still in the UFC.
Yeah, right. But he hasn't fought in the UFC since 2017.
Okay.
Late 2017, he lost to John McDessie, and before that he lost to James Vick, but prior to that he's on a 3-fight win streak. But, you know, I mean, and he did have that crazy knockout of Jamie Werner, but then he lost to Tony Ferguson.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, he's legit. I don't know if they officially released him or if he's just been injured or what.
Yeah.
But like, I look at the people who James Vick has fought, and I'm like, Polo Reyes, whoever that is, you know what I mean? He did fight Joseph Duffy, you know,
yeah,
and I guess if you're going to fight a guy who's good at striking... You know, I mean, it's okay striking, but isn't Duffy? He more known for his jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, I was going to say he's a jits guy, right?
Yeah, but he's got knockout power.
What about...
He fought Francisco Trinaldo, who is a guy who can swing. But really, these aren't guys like who are top 10 guys, you know what I mean?
And he didn't fight Cowboy Oliveira, did he, before he went to 170?
No, he didn't.
They always showed some guy in his highlights. I thought it was Cowboy.
Maybe that's... Polo Reyes.
Some Brazilian. Darker Brazilian.
But nevertheless, like he hasn't fought anyone who you're looking at going, oh, these guys are all top 10 guys. No,
yeah.
You're not. And he complains he complained prior to this that he's had the hardest road and blah blah blah. And I'm looking at these names and I'm like, not really, dude. Like there are people who have fought way tougher fighters.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to hate on him because I like his fights, you know. Like he's generally an entertaining fighter. He's in good fights. I mean, you know, we're talking about the guy's second loss ever. I mean, that's not bad. You know, that's not bad, but man.
He basically came up on the Ultimate Fighter too. I remember. I think he lied about his shit to get on the show, or he just had
something like one or two fights.
It was something weird, but I see what he's saying though. As far as like, you know, I've had a hard road, da da da. Because I mean, you think about it, he's had a lot of fights in the UFC that were just lower, like on the prelims, or whatever. And as a fighter, you know, regardless where you're at in the division. Every fight is a you know, every opponent's going to be good, right? Mm-hmm. So in his mind, he's thinking like, fuck, I had to fight this X amount of people, and now I'm just now finally starting to get a little bit of shine. So like maybe that's where he's coming from. Like he felt like maybe he should have
got a bigger name faster. Yeah, I'm sure that has something to do with it. And I'm sure it doesn't make him feel any better that he's fighting Gaethje, who's like comes into the UFC from a different promotion, gets all this love. He's getting only main events.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's also... got a fight night bonus in every fight he's had so far, you know.
And did he get one again?
I didn't look, but if he didn't, there I'd be
surprised,
shocked. Yeah. You know,
I mean, I don't know who else could have got. Oh well, we had the Eric Anders kick,
yeah, for sure. But this one was more impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, it was exciting. I mean, for the short time that it lasted, but you know, I mean, if they fought. You know, if they fought 10 times, maybe it's a coin flip. Maybe half the time one guy wins, half the time the other guy wins. Who knows?
But yeah.
I think that Justin Gaethje needed this win way more than James Vick did.
Oh, for sure.
You know, 1-3 coming into this fight in the UFC, that's not good. You know, you gotta get in there and produce. I mean, because he came in, they ranked him high right out of the gate, and then he just comes in and doesn't just kind of underperforms. He had
he lost to Poirier, lost to Alvarez.
Oh, I'm sorry, two losses.
Okay,
yeah.
I was trying to see who was the third.
He beat Michael Johnson,
okay.
And then he lost to Alvarez and lost to Poirier, so he was 1-2.
Okay,
and then you know had he lost this one, it would have been 1-3, so that wouldn't have been good. But But yes, he got, and I'm looking at it, he did get the performance of the night bonus. So this guy's had four fights in the UFC. So he's already pulled an extra 200 racks, you know, so he's pulling that in.
Finally got another win bonus. So I wonder what he made on that.
Yeah. So,
well, know. That's cool. Cause it doesn't, I think he only has one more on his timeline, one more fight.
Like one more on his contract or one more?
Cause remember he said, he's like, I'm only fighting like I only want to have a total of like, it was like 20 fights or 25. How many fights does he have?
Yeah, he's already got 21 fights.
21. So yeah, maybe. there was a weird number, or weird timeline. He's like, cause I remember after he got, it was either after the Alvarez fight or the Johnson fight. He's like, yeah, I only got like three more fights in me, four more fights, whatever it was. But he had, he set out a X amount of fights. He's like, I don't care about championship, da da da. I'm going out there, put on a show. I have a degree, you know, I have a college degree. He's like, I'm just, you know, this is why I fight the way I fight. I'm only doing X amount.
Well, he's doing it the right way, because he is pulling in these fight night bonuses. And I mean,
yeah, I kind of wish you know, more promotions had these bonuses, because I might even say fuck it and start fighting like that.
Right. I mean, those bonuses, they certainly make a bit of difference.
A huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's more, I think it makes more sense than the you know, your win money.
Yeah, that's stupid.
You show money. I don't think that really motivates anyone. I think that makes people stressed.
That's, yeah, no, exactly. I could tell you right now what my plan is for, you know, when I renegotiate my contract, is I'm going to try to exclude that fucking win bonus. I'm going to keep it just a flat rate, even if it is like, so
even if it's less.
Yeah. If they come out and they offer me like, you know, I'm just throwing a weird number. Like if they're like, okay, 30 and 30, right. I'm like, okay, well, how about instead of that, we'll go, I don't know.
48 flat.
Yeah. 48 flat. And then, you know, each win, maybe go up 6,000 or whatever.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Something like that. Because I know everybody's like, but yeah, but you're not betting on yourself. Or it doesn't matter. Like, I'd rather know, okay, this is what I'm making.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have to worry about any. The outcome doesn't matter. Right? Because I can go out there and just fight my
just
fight.
Bang.
Yeah. Instead of just fucking thinking about, fuck, okay, well, now I got to go out there and make sure I win. So I got to have this game planned where I don't, you know,
yeah.
take this risk or. Fuck it, you know. If I'm gonna make the same amount, like I'm gonna take all the risk in the world. Then
yeah, you're gonna be way more inclined to fight the style of fight that you want to fight versus what your game plan is to get the W. Because a lot of guys end up game planning and the game plan is boring.
I mean, that's the way you get paid. Is you have to, you know, you're gonna put on a less exciting fight because you're worried about the money.
Yeah. But if they added the bonuses, if they added those fight night bonuses, it would certainly help.
And yeah, that would help too.
And the other thing is, like, they add these fight night bonuses and it's like don't put a limit on how many you can hand out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? If you're the promotion and you want to hand out five, and there were and there were eight fights, but you feel like five guys or you know, five fights were so good that these guys deserve a little extra, just do it.
But it should just be for, what if they just did it for every finish, regardless of how it
but
is.
But what about those fight of the night fights, right, where like nobody finishes but it's crazy?
Yeah,
fight.
Then okay, you can do that too. But I'm saying, like, it should be like a, like, because that's going to make more of those crazy-ass fights if everyone's going for the finish.
Yeah, for sure. But then you have those fights, like, you know, those, like, super lame fights that are just terrible, and then at the very end, somebody, like, luckily sinks in a guillotine or something on a lazy shot in, and you're like, man, we just watched, like, 14 minutes and 20 seconds of garbage. Like that wouldn't be awesome.
Yeah.
And then the company be all pissed. Like, damn it, now we got to give you this money. And that's why the UFC changed it to performance of the night bonus.
Instead of submission, knockout, and fight of the night.
Because they were just like, I don't care. Like, yeah. They didn't, you know, it didn't matter to them.
Yeah. I mean, of course, there's always that factor. I mean, you know, it can always be, it's up to the company. Like, it's not necessarily going to be written in stone. But if it's more like that, more of a finish-based thing, just if you get a finish, you're more likely going to get one.
Yeah.
I think it's going to up everyone's output and you know, intensity.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I you know, obviously I'm all for it, but I'm spending someone else's money here, so
exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, when the president of the UFC comes out and goes, yeah, we're worth $7 billion now, and you know, I think they can afford, if you know, 6 to 7 finish or bonuses a night.
Yeah, easily.
Fucking cocksuckers.
Yeah, but you're betting on, you know, that number's incorrect.
There's no, I know, yet, but my point was.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, you Dana said White.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, shut your mouth if that's not what you're thinking.
Yeah, because you see the Derek Lewis interview.
Uh huh.
And he's all like, "Well, they're fucking me."
Yeah.
Yeah, they sure are, buddy. They sure
that's
are.
That's right.
They're like the black beast. I'm deep inside you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, it's easy, though. Like I said, it's easy for me when I'm spending someone else's money. But
oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you think about Bellator being owned by Viacom, it's like, mm-hmm. Well, Viacom's got a lot of money.
Hey,
although,
man,
how much does Viacom really give a shit about Bellator?
Well, fuck. I mean, obviously, they're paying some guys really well. Did you hear the Machida rumor?
Mm-mm.
1.5 a fight?
No way.
Yeah. That's the rumor out on crazy. The street, my friend.
Word on the street, 1.5 million a fight.
Yep.
For an old,
yep,
not champion man.
Yeah, I mean, fuck. You know what, though? Maybe that's a chess move, right?
Maybe.
It's a chess move. You go, okay, we give 1.5 million to Lyoto Machida. Is that really going to pay off for us? Maybe not in the ratings. But now I've got the attention of the other free agents, possibly mm-hmm. in the UFC,
yeah.
going, oh, shit, that's where the money is. I have somewhat of a name here in the UFC. UFC is offering me, you know, $200,000. Fuck that. Let me go over here to, you know, check out Bellator.
Yeah, even if you only get, you know, go from 200,000 flat to 320,000 or something. I mean, yeah. That's extra money all day.
Exactly. And then, oh, okay. Oh, and I get sponsors?
Pretty sweet.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I can wear whatever I want.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly. So, you know, maybe that was a power move by them. They're going, hey, we're flashing some money out there. Who wants some of it?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I wonder how many fighters, though, that have, like, championship potential mm-hmm. really feel about it, because you're not going to get pay-per-view points if you come to Bellator. So there's that to consider, I guess. But, I mean, if the money is right, who cares, right?
Like, and if the roster grows enough, pay-per-view is still there. That's still an option,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's going to be interesting, I think, in the next couple of years to see what happens.
Yeah, man. I mean, we're about halfway from when I said 2 years ago that in 4 years Bellator will be the bigger show.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Did you write like an article or something? Or
I've been saying it. I've been pretty vocal about it. I think they're investing the right way. I think they're investing in the right fighters. They're investing in the youth of the sport.
Oh, okay.
They're doing things a little bit differently. But then they did kind of make me look stupid when they went out and they like brought in Fedor and they're bringing it. You know what I mean? And they're going to bring in Machida.
Yeah.
But again, that's gonna put eyeballs on the sport.
I think that's really,
They're really investing. they're really investing in what's gonna be 3 and 4 years from now.
Yeah.
And so
I think they're definitely not looking at the now. They're looking at the later
just,
for sure.
It just felt to me like the UFC was on a decline, at least in popularity. And then, you know, if you take away Conor McGregor from the UFC, it really changes everything. You know, like that's really the big draw for them now. I mean, even their champions. I mean, you could ask anyone who's a casual fight fan
mm-hmm.
who the UFC heavyweight champion is, and most of them aren't going to know. You know, and it's probably the most dramatic heavyweight title win we've ever had in the UFC, and most people aren't going to know. Certainly, nobody knew Stipe's name. You know, I mean, there's a handful of people, but I mean, even after Ronda got beat, after she got beat by Holly Holm, you ask people who Ronda Rousey was and they'd say, oh, the UFC champion, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, shit, you ask someone now, they might say the same thing, you know? And so it's hard to say like what's going to happen with the UFC if Conor McGregor goes away and what's going to happen if this deal that they've made with Fox with ESPN rather kind of flubs.
Yeah.
You know, it remains to be seen, but I still think that Bellator is being more consistent with what they're doing. They're putting a more consistent product out there, and it makes more sense. And I'm not just saying that because you fight for Bellator. I know all these guys who fight for Bellator, but I just feel that way based on the way it's going. I think Scott Coker puts more into mm-hmm. the promotion that makes sense for the fighters, and I think that appeals to fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, eventually you're going to get people who don't care about what the name of the promotion is, you know, like,
yeah,
especially these young kids. You're going to give kids opportunities. And like we were talking about Sunshine last week, Sunshine comes in, he has this loss. It's, you know, it kind of sucks. And we're wondering like, hey, are they going to cut him? Are they not going to cut him? Yeah. But even if they cut him, Bellator is a promotion who has proven that we might cut you, but we will bring you back if you go out and show that you know, you've made improvements. And you don't see that as much with the UFC. They don't go out and re-sign a lot of guys. It's kind of a big deal when it happens, and you're like, whoa, this dude made it all the way back to the UFC, you know, unless they use him as like a late notice replacement. I mean, we're talking literally come back after you've been cut is rare.
Mm-hmm.
But if Bellator has all these young fighters, you know, if they're investing guys who have 2, 3, and 4 wins, and they come into the show and they get built up, and next thing you know, these guys have, you know, 15 fights under their belt. Yeah, maybe they had a couple losses, or maybe they got cut and they came back, but they're going to be more loyal to that promotion than they would have been to the UFC. You know, they weren't looking out for them.
Mm-hmm.
But what Bellator can't do that the UFC can do is the UFC can call up, you know, the guys at the RFA or whatever it is. It's LFA now. I don't know.
Yeah,
the LFA. And they're going to call up the guys at Titan, or they're going to call up another regional show that they like and say, hey, put this guy on one of your shows. We really think he's good. We want him to develop. Like, they can do that. And you don't have that opportunity quite as easily with Bellator. They don't. Yeah. They haven't proven that they have those relationships. But I still feel like overall they're investing in the right way, and I don't see the same thing in the UFC. Although as of late, the UFC certainly has started to invest in younger guys, and they're bringing in some younger.
With the whole Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series,
Tuesday Night Contender Series, and just some of the guys that they've signed. You know, they're bringing in guys from other countries that have decent records but aren't old. You know, they're bringing in a lot of those Russian guys. You know, they brought in a couple dudes from the Ukraine. I mean, you know, they're looking for talent, and it's good. That's super important. Tuesday Night Contender Series is super important, and I love seeing that happen. But Tuesday Night Contender Series is not necessarily the right way to do it. But it is what it is. So I mean, they certainly are trying to make that change. But I don't necessarily think the people who are getting signed are feeling like, oh, the UFC is taking this chance with me. I don't think they feel that way. I mean, Austin Springer doesn't feel that way, right? Like, he doesn't feel like the UFC is trying to take a chance on him, since he wins his fight and they don't give him a contract. They don't really tell him anything, right? It's nice of them to bring him on and put him on the show, but you know, this is a guy who has a family. Like, if he wants fighting to be his career, there's a limited window. You know, like, it would be a bigger benefit to him to have a company like Bellator come to him and say, hey, here's a contract. We want to develop you and keep you in with us. You know, I mean, it might be a little different with Austin since he has as many fights as he does, but it still makes more sense. And so I have more faith in what Scott Coker's doing than what Dana White's doing.
Do you feel like it's Strikeforce-esque, like the buildup of it?
And
you think it's going to get to a point where the UFC goes, okay, now they're a legitimate threat. And, well, they can't offer to buy out Bellator like they did Strikeforce, right? Because of, obviously Viacom.
Exactly.
It's a bigger force. And also that, with the whole lawsuit thing, that would look bad as well, right?
I think the lawsuit part hurts, but I think the bigger thing is, this time it's not as small an organization because it has Viacom behind it. And because it has more brand recognition than Strikeforce did, I think at this point.
Okay.
But that's just that's just speculative, right? Like, I mean, I could be totally wrong, but who knows? I mean, as a fighter, how do you feel?
Well, I was actually going to bring up while you were talking was what if like the possibility of a crossover with so PFL finishes their tournament, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they have their season champion. For each division.
Yep.
What if they do like a one off? Like, okay, Bellator champs versus, you know, PFL champs, like weight class or something like that. You know, like a PFL versus Bellator, or like something where we're finally seeing. If we start doing cross promotions, right, like that, I think that would change a lot of fucking shit. Like, I feel like that would be the biggest move for MMA to be kind of more of a free market, as in boxing. Right.
Sure. It would be more global.
right? Like, what if, you know, of course these are all what ifs and, you know, very unlikely scenarios, but, you know, I think that would be something kind of cool. Like, if we start doing, like, these smaller promotions like Risen or One or whatever, and they start working together and say, you know what, fuck the UFC. Let's actually do, you know, this the right way. Try to, you know, I don't know.
And the only problem with it is PFL has a contract with NBC Sports, and Bellator has a contract with Viacom, and they do all their stuff on Paramount Network.
Well, I mean, there's other platforms. I mean, just like Showtime and HBO, like when they did their cross promotion.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
You'd have to figure that part out, but I think it would be awesome. I would love that. And I would especially love if they did it with the Asian promotions.
Yeah.
You know, I would love that. I think that would be incredible because that's what people always like anyway, especially hardcore MMA fans. They want that. They want those guys from other countries that they don't get to see regularly, you know, like.
Who I feel like there is a working relationship that Bellator does have with one of the Asian promotions.
Yeah, they did. What? But wasn't it Dream?
I want to say it's something just recent because Mir signed with another company and also Bellator.
Oh, yeah. I think you might be right about that.
But I can't remember who it is.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I don't know if it was a Russian promotion or if it was...
Oh, yeah.
Is it ACB? Is it ACB?
Yeah, I think it was ACB.
Well, I mean, fuck. Even that would be kind of, you know, that's a start.
Well, and they have a lot of talent over there, man.
Dude, you know what? Russians and like, those European fighters, they scare me. Right. Well, no, I shouldn't say European fighters because fuck Ireland and those third world countries. But like Russian and Dagestan, like those guys, like and or what's the one that Mirko Krokop's from?
Croatia.
Croatians, dude. I want no fucking part of Croatians right now or ever. Like they're just scary human beings. You know, they don't seem normal. Like I feel like as a kid, they were like stabbed repeatedly. So they don't feel pain like later on. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or like Nurmi had to grow up wrestling bears and shit. Like regular people weren't doing that.
They're just emotionless. When you see them, they're just fucking, they all have like the same flat looking faces. And then the weird facial hair and just
and there's no like there's no group of people who have like more perpetually broken noses.
That's a big one too. Yeah, like, their faces are just like fucking mangled.
By 13, they look like a fighter.
Yeah,
you're like
yeah,
hmm.
Yeah. You're 13 going on 27.
Right,
like you're just rough as shit. Yeah, man. I don't want to. I don't know. Like I would like to fight an if I had to pick a country person to fight that's not, you know, of American descent, I'd probably be Asian. I feel like Asian fighters aren't usually the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's up and down, I guess. Like a lot of those guys from Japan, like you did have a handful that could cross over, but there were a handful.
I feel like there's least the least amount of like active fighters like country wise that can come over and compete with the West. I feel like the Asians do the worst.
Maybe. I mean, I guess I'd have to look at the numbers. I'd have to read up.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like anytime you know, there's this Japanese star and then, you know, as soon as he makes it over to America, he gets fucking handled. Like I've never seen like one where they come over and they're like they're dominant.
Yeah.
Like who?
Yeah, Gomi didn't really pan out, did he?
Fuck no.
But he came after
kid Yamamoto.
Yeah. I think both those guys came a little too late. Like, if they had come over, like, when they were on their hot streak, it would have been maybe a little bit different.
Well, even then, though, because, like, you go back, right? And he comes, like, as soon as he came over, he's supposed to be the best 155 in the world, fights BJ Penn, gets fucked up, all right? Nick Diaz goes over there high as shit, go-go plodders him. Yeah. Like, who hits a fucking go-go? No one.
That was pretty awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he had Sakuraba, sure. Right, he had it, you know, it was a force, but it's back when no one knew anything.
Yeah, so. Sakuraba was really ahead of the game.
Yeah, I fucking love Sakuraba.
I do too. I got a picture with him at the Bellator Dynamite card.
Yeah,
I was like so excited. I ran down there. I'm like, let me get a picture.
Did he stink? I feel like he'd stink.
I don't think he stunk. I hope not.
That's like my biggest fear is like beating someone I like and then they stink because then I don't like you anymore.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I was just kind of like overwhelmed, like, oh my god, the Sakuraba. I ran down there. I was super pumped. Like nobody knew who he was. They were talking to him. I was like, dude. Like, cause BJ Penn was running around and people were really freaking out trying to take pictures of BJ Penn.
I need to get better at that. Like being okay with taking pictures with fighters and shit. Because, like, I've ran into Randy Couture, like, I don't know how many fucking times. And, like, every time, like, we see each other, he kind of just, you know, we do the head nod thing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I don't want to bug him, you know?
Right.
So it's, but at the same time, I'm like, fuck, man, that's Randy Couture. How cool
is that?
Better
take a picture with him while you can.
Yeah, right? Or, like, you know, Dan Henderson or... Oh, those man. Guys.
I didn't get a chance to take a picture with Dan Henderson, but if I did, I would have. I don't always take pictures with a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
I like I'll meet him and I'll say what's up, but unless I'm like really like legitimately a fan of yours, I'm not going to bug you for a photo.
Yeah.
Like I took a picture with Chris Lytle. I took a picture with Uriah Faber.
Oh yeah.
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 But I feel especially weird taking pictures with fighters that I know. Mm. Like I would not ask Chael if I could take a picture with him. That would be weird.
Yeah.
Like you know? Like it would be kind of weird. Or like the best was Uriah Hall was at
the FCFF
event and he was talking to a local a local strength and conditioning coach who used to be a fighter, and I had never talked to her in person before, mm-hmm. and we had talked a bunch online, and I like ran over and
I remember you telling me about this. I interrupted them and I
was like, "Hey, what's up? I'm David." She's like, "Oh, hey, what's up?"
Yeah,
like I was like, "Excuse me, sir."
Yeah, see, I always had this kind of rule, like you know, I only take pictures with other fighters if we've trained together. Like if it's after a training session, like I won't even initiate it, but if we got, you know, just got done training or whatever, then we'll, you know, oh hey, look, who am I training with, kind of a thing.
Yeah,
but
fighters love that shit. What? If you follow fighters on Instagram, they're always posting pictures of like after training with other dudes.
It's
like,
the fucking gym.
Is that the weirdest thing?
It's so annoying to me. I hate it because like we'll get done, you know, practice, like a Gracie Ball, they do it all the fucking time. You know, we get done with like no gi class or whatever, and it's like, oh, it's like there's 30 people here. Everyone, take a picture. It's like, fuck. Then we all got to line up. And I got to be sweaty there. And I'm tired. We're hot. You're too close to me, buddy. I don't like you that much. You know, or all right, we'll put my arm on you. Don't put your fucking arm on me. I don't want that. You know, and it's like, you know, or like, yeah, every gym does Extreme Couture. Fucking, they do it every other goddamn day. And it's just, we get it. We train. Yeah.
There's a lot of people here today.
Yeah, we get it, you guys showed up, put in work. Woo. It's just it's obnoxious, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like and another thing too, it's just I want to have that like we're equals. You know, I don't want to be a fanboy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's just my little hang up.
Yeah, I just feel awkward asking people if I can take a picture with them.
Yeah, it's a weird thing too. It's like weird. It's kind of a, you know.
Especially like it's weird because like now, like today is like the modern day selfie era. Like everybody takes selfies with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the one picture I saw someone take with someone that I was super jealous of, this dude walked up to Stitch Duran and was like, "Hey, can I take a selfie with you?" And he was like, "Yeah." And he gave Stitch like a piece of paper towel,
mm-hmm.
and Stitch like held it on the dude's eye and they took a picture like he was like fixing a cut on him. I was like, oh, that's kind of awesome.
That's funny.
But like I never feel comfortable asking people for pictures. Yeah. And I'm always super weird about it. With Sakuraba, at least he didn't speak English very well.
Yeah.
He's like a living
legend. Like I feel like he's suitable to do. We should make a list of like fighters that are
it's okay to take pictures with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Sakuraba was definitely number one on my list. Forrest Griffin for me, because that's the guy who got me into fighting.
Yeah. Right? BJ Penn, you can take a picture with BJ Penn whenever you want.
I feel like BJ Penn might, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Totally. I don't know if I can do BJ.
And BJ Penn's a dude, if you're in Hawaii, you could run into him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like one of my best friends ran into him and was just like, let's get a picture. He's like, yeah, dude, sure.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'd be a little gun-shy with BJ.
Yeah, but I feel like he's a legend. He is.
No, so. He's one of my favorite. I get it.
Randy Couture, you have to take a picture with.
I don't agree with that one.
If you could get a picture with Fedor, you kind of have to take a picture with him because you know he wouldn't smile.
Can't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can't. But like the other people listening who aren't training partners with Chael, like if you see Fedor and he's like photo op ready, you take a picture with Fedor.
I've never been a big fan of Fedor anyways though.
Yeah, dude, he's a weirdo. You post it, but then you post it online and you're like Fedor happy and you're smiling and he's not. It would be so awesome.
We after he got knocked out by Matt Mitrione in New York, we went to this diner and all the fighters were there, right? And Fedor was there and you know, he was eating his food and he had his little little translator lady there. And only thing he was eating was a big ass plate of fucking potatoes. Straight up hash browns. That's it. That's all it was. Just a huge plate of hash browns. Fucking weird, man.
Just give me a 6-portion size plate of hash browns. Yeah. Call it a day.
Weird. Still had no emotion. Didn't seem to care that he got knocked out. Just like, I have my potatoes. Like, and I was like, yeah, you're fucking on the spectrum. So that explains a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not. I don't know.
I still feel like if you could take a picture with him, it's not a bad photo op. Like, that's a cool one to have.
I would ask the fan who listens to this, who they think is, acceptable to take pictures, but they're not. Most people, or I don't know who listens, but I'm assuming they're not fighters, so we can't really ask.
Yeah, but they would. But I mean, I'm not a fighter, but they might. You know, I mean, some people have that list of people that they want to take pictures with.
I feel like they'd take pictures with anyone, though.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. Like, yeah. I don't know. I think most people are generally. I bet you most people generally aren't like, oh, let me run up and take a picture with everybody. But then again, you hear it, like, famous people or like comedians are like, God, all these fucking people want to take pictures all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I never take a picture with a comedian. They have to take pictures all the fucking time. I always feel bad. Like,
I do the meet and greets.
Yeah, I don't like always. I mean, I will, but I generally I don't. Like, the one comedian I'll never take a picture with, because I know that they hate it more than anyone, is Tom Segura. Like, he hates taking pictures.
Yeah.
So anytime I've seen him, I just say, good show, Tommy.
Yeah. He
says, all right. Like, into it, you know?
Yeah, he is weird when you meet him. Like, he's awkward.
Yeah,
like,
he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to talk to you.
Yeah, so we, you know, I had the whole weight loss thing with him. And so like he set it up to where me and Walker had like a VIP kind of go meet him, and we do it, and you know, we're talking kind of, but it was just, I could just tell like he was uncomfortable and I was uncomfortable, because it was kind of like we don't really know each other, but like we're supposed to be friendly because we had this experience. So I just, you know, we kept it really short. I was like, hey man, cool, I appreciate you, you know, setting me up with these tickets and da 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 da.
Yeah.
And you know, kept moving. Signed us a poster, and that was it.
That's good, dude. It's all you need.
Yeah,
it's all you need.
But like, I always feel like I want to make an impression, though. Like, I want you to remember me,
right? Like, don't forget me.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. That happens. Whatever. I guess we could talk a little more about this fight card, since we only talked about one fight.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
There weren't a ton of fights on it that you're like, oh man, I got to see that fight. Oh man, you know.
Like, I found myself watching it and going, God, these rounds are way too long.
Felt like it a little bit.
See, I don't know, man. I'm getting jaded, I think.
Yeah, you know what we should mention is Jake Ellenberger announced his retirement after his fight with Barbarina. Yeah,
that's right.
I say very
smart.
Yeah, well, he should have retired a while ago, in my opinion.
Yeah, I got to train with him twice.
Yeah?
Twice.
He seems like a nice dude, but...
Yeah, he was cool.
But let's just say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean,
He's won 2 out of his last 8 or something, right?
2 out of his last 10.
10?
Yeah, so that's not good.
Yeah.
And he was on a 3-fight win streak going into this fight, and then he lost... And actually, he lost the exact same way as he did in his last fight. Knee to the body and punches. So, back-to-back fights, he loses off what is listed as knee to the body and punches. So, that sucks.
He got knee to the body first before this?
Apparently.
I didn't see that.
At least that's what it says. That could be wrong. You know, Wikipedia is not always accurate. But, you know, I mean, he didn't...
He was looking good there for the first, like, 30 seconds. And then, he got clipped. You know, he got back up. Homeboy fucking hit him again in the temple. He just pounded him out.
Yeah. I mean, and he rolled over and turned away like he was done.
Yeah, it was done. Like, you can see it in his eyes, too. When he got hit with that temple shot, you can see his eyes fucking, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of, how do I do this? It's kind of USADA-ish, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I've heard stuff.
Maybe you did
some steroids. Yeah, I was talking to a fighter who I think fought him at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely was saying that you know, homeboy changed a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and it's been a long time since he was really, in the, like the best part of his career, you know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, he really hit his stride like back in 2010.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. And once he hit the skids, man, he hit them hard. And it's not like he fought like nobody's. I mean,
no, I mean, if you look back at
the end for him was when he fought Rory McDonald. And it's like, okay, like that's not a bad loss. And then he fought Robbie Lawler. And you're like, oh, okay, you got knocked out by Robbie Lawler. Like, that's not a bad loss. And then he fought Kelvin Gastelum. Oh, okay, that's not a bad loss.
Yeah.
Then he beats Josh Koscheck, and you're like, yeah, you should probably beat Josh Koscheck. But then you lose to Stephen Thompson. Then you lose to Tarek Saffiedine.
Which, again, those are all legit dudes.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you beat Matt Brown.
That's a solid win.
Which was a great win for you. But then you lost to Jorge Masvidal, Mike Perry, Ben Saunders, Brian Barberena. You're like losing to guys that are probably better than you. Like,
I feel like if he fought those last couple guys, you know,
at a different time in his career.
Yeah, if you look at his Bodog resume, homeboy, he fought some killers. Like, you look at his early career. Like,
when he fought in the IFL, he was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was good. You know, he was good early on in his career. He was. He was definitely worth watching. He had a bunch of good fights. He had that crazy knockout power. I kind of wonder if he just, like, should have stuck more with his wrestling throughout
his
career.
But the thing, you know what? He wasn't really a wrestler. Did you know that? Like, he didn't wrestle. At least this is a rumor. I think maybe I talked to him about it. I don't know. But, like, he didn't start wrestling until college. Like, he just kind of, like, walked on the team. Because his brother was a really good wrestler.
Yeah, his brother was a great wrestler.
But I don't think he wrestled. I think he was a football dude.
Yeah, but still, if you wrestled in college and that got you...
But I'm saying he was a walk-on kind of thing. Like, he didn't wrestle in high school. It was kind of one of those, I'll give this a try. And he's such a stud athlete that he was fucking...
And he just does it.
Yeah. So, I mean, when it's kind of, you know... That one of those things, and then you're knocking people out.
Yeah, but you know, you mentioned that USADA thing, and man, that I mean,
geez, what was the fight? There was a fight.
Kind of.
Someone told me
sharp drop off. So maybe.
Yeah. Who the fuck was it? Well, I mean, I know who it was that was telling me this. I just don't want to put him on blast.
Yeah, yeah.
But he told me to go back and look at. He's like, look at this fight at his body, or look at the fight with. Was it before Diego Sanchez? Look at his body, and then look at his body most recently.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was like, there's, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, also, he's gotten older and, you know, vice versa.
Yeah, so, totally. There's all that to contend with, but he's only 33.
What? Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought he was, like, 37, 35.
He's only 33, but he's only 33 and he has, you know,
40
he has,
fights.
Yeah, over 40 fights. He has 46 fights.
Oh shit, yeah, that's a lot.
Like,
yeah.
You're like 41 in fight years with 46 fights. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know. So there's that to consider too, but
yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm glad he retired. I mean, I don't want to see any fighter take a bunch of unnecessary damage. And when you're not winning, like you're not just going out there just to collect the paycheck for the show money. You know what I mean? And the UFC was nice enough to give him another shot. And it's like,
yeah, I guarantee you what happened was he's like, look, you guys are going to Nebraska. I'm retiring regardless. Please let me have this. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. And they're like, here's a guy you might be able to beat, but probably not.
Yeah.
And there it goes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm. Yeah, it is what it is, man. I mean, it's a bummer. It's a bummer for anyone to have to go out like that. Like, in terms of, like, having all of those losses, that's got to suck. But, you know, at least he's walked away.
You know, I just feel like that's just the inevitability of fighting. Like, regardless, you're gonna have a skid at the end of your career. When it's time, it's time. There's no one escapes it. No one escapes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this isn't boxing, but so MMA wise, like, at least I don't think anyone will escape.
No. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, GSP is the closest thing to it, but even he,
he came back.
Well, I'm saying even he had, you know, he had some rough goes. Like, it's not, I mean, he had, what, two? But, you know what I mean? I don't think anyone's going to be able to be a Floyd Mayweather of MMA. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they do, geez, they'll be... Yeah, I mean, that'll be exciting, you know.
But. Closest so far is Jonny Bones, but I think even when he eventually comes back, he's gonna go, oh shit, you know, I don't, whatever yeah. it is, he's dabbling. I think he's gonna get caught eventually.
Yeah. Well, his losses are outside of the cage, you know.
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the sport ate him alive emotionally. Mm-hmm. Like he's mm-hmm. clearly like that guy and fame don't mix.
Yeah,
like
yeah, I think though, we're gonna see him get beat up soon.
We'll see, man.
When he eventually comes back, I think he will get beat up within the next 2 years of whatever his return is.
Right. I mean, you can't be out that long and then yeah. come back and just beat someone who's been yeah. training and fighting the whole time.
I mean, fucking look at Tyson. Look at Ali. Look at any great fighter of any time that has had issues or outside or somehow can't compete. When they come back, it usually doesn't pan out.
Yeah, it's never good. Never good. I still like to see... Alexander Gustafsson and John Jones go at it again.
Anyway. Oh, fuck yeah. I would love that. I want Gustafsson to get his time, too. Yeah. I think he deserves a belt, man.
Well, I mean, you deserve a belt. You gotta beat the person with the belt.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it wasn't for, you know, Jones being there, he would have been champion. If it wasn't for DC, he would be champion. Mm-hmm. Even in those fights, too, you can almost say, like, there's an argument there where he should have been champion.
Yeah, especially in the Jones fight.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you mm-hmm. know, if it's just maybe he had, like, a different judge that night. Judge.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what I mean by he deserved it.
Yeah, yeah. No, totally. So, we were talking about USADA a minute ago.
Yeah, they tried to test me.
They tried to test you?
Yeah, they tried to test my gangster. But, so...
well, I saw an article this last week that I thought was pretty interesting because it pertains to something we had debated. Michael Chandler has signed his new deal with Bellator. He's not heading to the UFC.
Yeah,
sticking around town. He's gonna stay with the Bell, and I just assumed that would happen because they were gonna throw a bunch of money at him.
That's what I was thinking too. But actually, no. That wasn't what I was thinking. I think they were going to give him money, but I honestly thought he was going to jump ship.
Yeah, you thought he was going away, and I was like, oh, man, here he is signing.
Yep.
But the first thing that I see about it is I see something from one of the Pitbull brothers, Patricio, the little one,
yeah.
Little Pitbull.
Yeah, yeah.
Little Pitbull, he says in an interview... he says, I've already said it before in interviews and tweeted about it. Chandler wasn't going anywhere near USADA. He was just talking about the UFC as negotiation tactics. That guy's one of the biggest PED users in the sport.
Yeah.
And bold. I had not heard that rumor. I mean, you hear it about that. Oh, everybody, you hear yeah, quote yeah, unquote, yeah. everybody's on the juice.
Yeah.
But I had not heard it about Michael Chandler before. At least not that I had seen like in any major articles anywhere, but goddamn, man, Pitbull brother, not mincing words.
Yeah, he don't give a fuck.
Not even a little bit. Like that's like if you are a clean fighter, that's grounds for, you know, a lawsuit. Like that's not a
fist fight, sir. yeah. Well, I mean, there's two things going on there, right? One, he obviously wants to fight Chandler to avenge his brother's two losses.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that little grudge there, and you know, and also. Champion versus possible champion if he fights mm-hmm. Brent again, you know, blah blah blah. And then of course it may, you know, if there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, would it surprise me if Chandler was on the juice? No. I mean, did it ever cross my mind as like, oh, he's definitely juicing? Honestly, not really. I didn't really care about it or think about it because if Chandler's not a big dude, like he looks big on TV and like, you know, he's very mm-hmm. you know, very muscular and that. But like I've been stood next to him and I'm like, oh shit, like,
oh dude, you're not the same thing. Stand next to Chad Mendez,
yeah,
tiny,
right? Yeah,
Chad Mendez is the littlest guy you'll ever meet.
Yeah, but you know, have you ever seen any Chandler's like workout videos?
Mm-mm.
Or fucking, they're crazy. He's doing some crazy shit, man. And I would like to think that I don't have that shitty of genes, you know. So
right.
I guess for my hope, I'm hoping he's on juice,
right?
Or else I just feel inferior as a man. I don't know. I don't have like a definitive opinion on it. Like, I don't know if I agree or disagree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an opinion on, you know, if he is or if he isn't, but I just thought it was, I thought it was pretty bold.
I mean, it is.
Say it like that.
Hey, you know, that's a smart, like, strat. If he is, like, I get it. Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, good detective work.
And good tactic. You're in his head immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know that he doesn't care about fighting Brent. Like,
yeah.
So why not try to pick a fight with a guy who just... Yeah. Who just re-signed a big deal. Like, your contract's going to come up sooner or later. Mm-hmm. The Little Pitbull is probably the second biggest star for the promotion in terms of like in terms of like those homegrown guys that they've had for a long time.
Yeah, they have the same amount of most wins in Bellator.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've both been there a long time and they're both really talented. I think either of them would do well in the UFC.
Oh, for sure.
You know. How well, who knows? I mean, they're in divisions that are like full of killers. So
I feel like Chandler would for sure be a top five, if not three.
I think he'd be like top five, and when he started fighting the top three guys, he'd get worked.
I feel like a really good fight would be him and Kevin Lee.
Yeah, that'd be a great fight. But I think Chandler and Eddie Alvarez are like at the same level. And if the cards lined up right, Chandler could win the UFC title.
Yeah, yeah. If he had the way that Alvarez
did.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you see where Alvarez goes and you're like,
I think Chandler's passed up Alvarez now.
Yeah, potentially. Potentially. But if they were to fight again. Been in a deeper pool as of late.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. I just think, I think if they were to fight again, I think Chandler knocks him out.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, an age might have something to do with it, too.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Who knows? I mean, I'd love to see them fight again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've watched, you know, the videos of him and Usman going at it for takedown, and it's crazy scrambles. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things, like, could Khabib take him down? I don't know. I mean, we've already talked about this.
Yeah.
I really like Chandler as a fighter. I really do. I think he's really good. I think he's underrated. But
that's funny. I think he's a little bit overrated.
See, yeah, I don't because I'm watching what he's doing and I'm like, fuck, man, it's pretty perfect.
It's good, man. He's good. He's really, really good. I feel like people think you could pluck him out of Bellator and put him in a title fight in the UFC and he's gonna win, and I think that's absurd.
Well. Like, yeah,
like it's absurd.
Yeah,
I need to see him against someone besides the Pitbull brothers and Eddie Alvarez. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm forgetting about, he got beat up by Will Brooks twice.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Brooks did shit. Then again, though, you can't, MMA math doesn't work, dude.
It doesn't work.
Fuck, I don't know.
It doesn't work. But like, I still have to see him in there against someone. I have to. Yeah. I just have to.
This is the problem. I can't
buy it.
With organizations. Everyone should just fight. Just fucking pay us, all right? Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
You know, I got an argument with my girlfriend on Friday driving to... we're driving up to Wild Waves, which is, you know, it was about 3 hours with traffic. So we had time to talk about some shit. And I was hyped up on my Starbucks coffee.
And she was cold brew. I listened to that podcast last week, and I did not appreciate what you said.
I forgot about that. No. We were talking about fighter pay. And she's like, well, I feel like fighters make enough for fighting. And I was like, stop. And I was like, this is what you don't know about fighting. And I had to break down each percentage breakdown of what, you know, cause her cousin's Ricky. So she was talking about Ricky's like 50,000 bonus. Like, well,
if he didn't get that 50,000 bonus, what's
even, he even if, even with that 50,000, I'm like, he didn't just walk away with. He didn't walk away with whatever his total was, like 70,000 total or 70,000-80,000 bucks. I was like, that's not what he walked away with. Mm-mm. Then you got to cut in. Yeah. Manager.
Gotta have it first.
You got, yeah. Right. So, and I was like, then you got state taxes cause you're fighting a different state and this and that. And I broke it down. I was like, we're not really making shit. Like it is a nice lump sum and it's cool to stunt, like act like we are, like we're stunting, like, but I'm balling on a budget. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah, dude. And you know? And like, it's not like Ricky came home and bought a fucking condo.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're like, hey, did you move into my house? Like, do I own a home that you moved into right now? No, yeah. I still rent. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Just chill out a minute.
Yeah, like, exactly. But like, you know, for like, it kind of just like, to me, it sparked this thing like, oh, this is what other people outside of us are seeing. Like, they're thinking, you know, we're making this
mm-hmm.
and for them to see us complaining about our money, I can see why the average Joe would be pissed off about it.
Sure.
But, you know, again, they don't know.
No. And I don't think people even consider the cost of being an athlete that's yep. a fighter, you know yep. what I mean? Like if you're in the NFL, you have team doctors. If you know, mm-hmm. same thing in most of the major league sports organizations, yeah. you have team doctors you can go to. You know, they're going to help you out. You're going to, if you need a knee surgery, they're going to pay for it. Yeah. Like yeah. there's going to be a lot of stuff you don't have to worry about, you know. If Jake Smith needs surgery and he doesn't have
yeah, I better hope I got hurt during that fight, because well, that's the only way I'm right? it's getting paid for by them.
Exactly. Yeah. And realistically, you go back and you say, well, that's where the injury happened. Like, well, you didn't report it, so sorry.
Exactly.
And it's like now it's like, okay, thank you, Affordable Care Act. Like, this is yeah. all I've got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, that's good if you need to go to Zoom Care because you have mm-hmm. strep throat.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's going to suck if you have to have surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I mean, it's a bit of a bummer, you know.
Sure is.
You know, that I mean, that sucks, but yeah. you know, that's part of, you know, that's part of being a professional fighter. I mean, that's one of the bummers for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why there are a lot of fighters who keep jobs. Like, they keep jobs for insurance purposes yeah. only. Like yeah. like you know, there are people who just try to find part-time jobs that offer insurance, and then they'll work there all the time, and then that job under, you know, they happen to have a boss that understands that when it comes time for fight camp, they're only going to work, you know, yeah. 2 days a week or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they get it. But it happens a lot, man. I mean, if you have a major problem like that, I mean, you're kind of screwed, even if you are making a decent amount of money. Like,
yeah,
it's not cheap. Like, medical imaging is not cheap. Surgery is not cheap. I was just looking at a bill from Kaiser like mm-hmm. today. And my copay was like $25, and it was for a telephone appointment with a nurse. And my copay was $25, but without my insurance, that guess how much that would have cost?
$250.
$700.
What?
To talk to a fucking nurse over the phone.
Oh no.
For about 20 minutes.
That's fucking stupid.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Oh man,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't need to get into a debate about healthcare, you know. But I'm just saying,
like, for sure,
fighter,
dude.
If you're a fighter, there's that to consider. Not only that, like your food, your supplements, your training at your gym. Like even if your gym's really cool and they're like, hey man, you don't have to pay monthly dues. Your percentage that you pay them when you do win is gonna. I mean, you have to. No, pay
that's
it.
Yeah, that's I how mean, most of the gyms yeah. do it. But again, it's still a 5-10% cut.
Yeah, man. I mean,
and
it
that's
all
not
adds
including
up for
with,
sure.
with your corner men and yeah.
You know, it's funny we're talking about fighter pay. We were watching, there was a clip that got posted on ESPN this last weekend or
oh,
this weekend
fuck.
On
yeah,
like
yeah.
Friday or something. And I sent it to you because I thought it was so crazy. There was a fight that happened, and there's this heavyweight prospect, this guy, F.A. Ajogba, he's 6-0 with 5 KOs. He's this big, giant Nigerian dude. He's an Olympian, recently moved to the U.S., and he's taken on a guy named Curtis Harper. If you search for this, you can find the video. Curtis Harper gets out there like he's going to fight the guy. He's looking down at this guy. The announcers are talking about how this dude from Nigeria is just a killer. And the bell rings, and Curtis Harper, like, literally the bell rings, homeboy ducks out the ropes and walks out.
Yep.
He just left. Walked all the way down the ramp,
yeah.
walked all the way down the back, and walked completely out of the place. And I was talking to you about it, and yeah. we both kind of had the same thought. Did that fulfill his contract of fighting that guy when the bell rang and then he got disqualified? Did that guy just collect his check for this fight?
Technically, yeah. Right?
Maybe.
I mean, you were there.
There's got to be something.
It's 2 seconds of fighting.
Disqualification gets you paid less, right?
Unless it's in his contract, but I doubt it. Like, I doubt there. I mean, fuck. I don't know.
I've never seen that before.
I've never seen it either.
I've never seen it in boxing. The only place I've ever seen that, professional wrestling. That's some WWF shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like when I was a kid, there was a tag team. It was the Million Dollar Man and IRS, and they would that's how they'd win their matches, by disqualification. They'd leave. They'd get sick of the fight and they'd leave, and they'd get counted out, but they wouldn't lose their belts.
Oh shit! Really?
You know, like that, I remember cool. that as a kid, and that's what happens here. This guy's like, ah, fuck it, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking like, you know, maybe he had some kind of a beef or something with the promoter.
Ooh, right? Maybe.
So let's say like he's like, you know, it's like, yo, I want more money, and the promoter's like, nah, we ain't gonna pay you that. We're gonna pay you this, and you know, he's like, fuck it. You know what? You guys aren't gonna pay me enough to fight. Actual fight, fuck it, I'm just gonna take your money for showing up.
Yeah, I wonder what he was getting paid. I mean, he's not, I mean, he
we
wasn't
should,
like
we
a,
should try and get a hold of him before every other news outlet and well, try to
on,
get
it's on ESPN. We're lost. He's not talking to us.
Maybe we can make it happen.
All right, I'll start hitting him up. Be like, hey bro, was that the smartest move ever? Did you just make like
I want to congratulate him. Like, fuck it, man. Like, if you know you're gonna get beat up, yeah, more power to you. Like, you know, maybe
I feel like you at least go in and take a jab.
No, yeah, I'm with you too. You know, like, what I mean? You do just, the fake flop.
You don't even have
save
to fake
face.
It. You don't even have to fake it. Just take a jab and be like, "Nah, I'm done."
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Just be like, yeah. "Tap out." I call in it. That hurt too bad. This guy's too strong. You know what I mean? Because like, what if you were like you agreed to a catchweight fight against Francis Ngannou, and he hit you with a jab in the face, and it was so hard that you were like, "Wow, when this guy really hits me, it's gonna break my jaw. I quit." Because that's what I would do. Like,
yeah.
I'm not fighting a guy. I'm not fighting a 6'3", 280-pound monster. Like, I wouldn't do that. But, you know, I always said, like, if someone was like, hey, man, would you take the prize money to fight Mike Tyson?
Like, yeah, that always, there? Like, yeah.
Like, sure.
Yeah.
I'll let you knock me out.
Like, yeah, there was always that stupid head. Question. For $1 million, would you let Mike Tyson punch you in the face? Yeah.
You know what, man? If he wasn't going to knock me out, I would probably let Mike Tyson punch me in the face just so I could tell people Mike Tyson punched me in the face.
Yeah.
Like if Mike Tyson showed up at your gym and he had on a set of gloves and was like, hey, let me practice my jab on you, you'd probably be like, okay, this is Mike Tyson. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd move around with him, but yeah. I don't
like
know.
If you're Zach Galifianakis. And they're filming The Hangover.
Yeah.
And Mike Tyson's going to punch you in the face. Do you just go, you know what? You know what, champ? Just really hit me in the face.
No.
I don't know, man.
No, you don't.
I don't know, man.
I wouldn't do it. That's retarded. No.
Sounds crazy, but at least you could tell people you got punched in the face by Mike Tyson.
You know what?
That's a story you could have forever.
That's not something I pride myself on.
I don't know, man. I think I might do it.
No.
As long as he didn't hit me in the nose, I'd be all right.
It's just there's too many bad things that could happen. Like, it's the risk reward value on that.
Cause, yeah, he wouldn't
now,
like hit you as artist. Come on.
Listen, you're getting chin checked by Mike Tyson, right? One, his fists are huge. Okay, he's compact. He knows how to throw his hips. It's not like he's trying to not like even if he's not trying to hit you hard, he's gonna hit you fucking hard. Okay. Now you're falling around in a place where
just
there's
based
objects.
On how he moves his hips, he's just like,
yeah. And now you got objects to consider. Okay, what if I fall? Hit my head on this desk. I hit my head on this floor. I, you know, there's too many variables for me. Oh, he fractures my cheekbone, and I did all this just because, like, I get to tell someone. Fuck that. I don't care. I'm gonna say, you know what? I get to shake his hand once. That was cool.
You're overthinking it.
Exactly, because that's the way it is. There's risk reward values. Some people like to get on shit. Like, we went to Wild Waves, right? There's certain rides I will not get on because of the risk-reward value. Like the Ring of Fire, the one that just kind of goes in a circle, right? You ever seen those roller coasters? Mm-hmm. And then it kind of like pauses upside down?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, man, that's too big of a risk for me. Not doing it, right? Not doing it. Because now that there's a risk of me possibly falling out. The likelihood of it happen, very slim? Yes, I know. But that risk is still there.
So when I was in high school, I grew up near a huge theme park called Great America.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have a ride there called Drop Zone. Mm-hmm. And it replaced, they used to have a drop ride there called The Edge. And it was actually almost scarier than Drop Zone because of how it finished. But nevertheless, Drop Zone opened there and it was like touted as the highest whatever ride. And the ride goes up and someone's brace failed. The thing came up and they fell out and they died.
See?
And wait, it gets so much worse.
Okay.
So there was this like super nerdy kid that went to my school, and tons of people from my high school worked there. Like just tons of people. And so this kid was like, this kid was really nerdy. Like, you know, those kids that would like put their arm around the back of their backpack.
You know,
like he was just like, he would just do all these weird things. He like had that like nerdy walk where you like kind of go up and down, up and down. You know, I mean, this kid was like
little gallop,
classic nerd, skinny, loner, like didn't have a lot of friends. Well, that kid worked at Great America, and he was working the shift on the ride when that kid fell out and died. And that guy is the one who goes around and checks everyone's harnesses to see if they're working. And so he swears he checked it. Like, this kid swore up and down that he checked it, and it just failed. You know, he did his job. But man, for like 3 years, like, people would yell at that kid, fucking murderer.
Oh,
you killed that kid. Like, man, no, you want to talk about bullying? People talk about bullying. Hey, nerd, fuck you. Drop your books. How do you like to be called a murderer by somebody after you had to watch someone fall to their death on a ride that you fucking are responsible for checking their harness?
How did he not kill himself?
Maybe he did. I don't know. I mean, I felt terrible for him. I was like, I never said shit to the guy. Like, I wasn't mean to him. I didn't befriend him, but I didn't, I mean, we didn't like have any classes together.
Or anything,
and he was younger than me, so I didn't really, you know, whatever. But man, can you imagine?
Talk about PTSD, huh?
You know, so if Mike Tyson wants to punch me in the face, I'll take the black guy.
You'll take the black guy?
Black eye.
The guy.
God damn it, Jake. Take one from that black guy.
Yeah, you would.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the pooper.
No.
Oh yeah, you would. If Mike Tyson wanted to fuck you, you would have no choice.
There's a risk reward.
Yeah.
Oh man, like we said before, this is not a PG podcast.
Sure is. I feel like we did pretty good until the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, until you get to Mike Tyson pegging you, like, you know, like,
you know, Walker. Real quick before we, I'm sure we're wrapping up here soon. Walker was telling me a story about, I guess, because, you know, he's out in Vegas, and he's saying that one of his buddies or something was at a club, and Mike Tyson was there, or someone at the that worked at Extreme Couture is there, and I guess Mike Tyson was trying to fuck some dude in the, or he sexually assaulted some guy in the bathroom.
Hmm.
Yeah, like, it, I was like, well, I don't think that's true, man. He's like, nah. He's like, this is what this guy's pretty much pretty adamant about it, and said that this is what happened. Basically made some dude do some gay stuff with him. I was like, yeah, well, I guess hashtag him as well, you know?
I guess, man. I mean, I don't know what happened. I wasn't there, so.
Yeah, me either. I was like, oh, okay.
I wouldn't be like totally shocked.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a little weird.
It wouldn't blow my mind or anything. I've heard weirder stuff.
Walker tried to say, yeah, because of his time in prison. I was like,
I mean, shut up, dude.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I know some people who've been to prison that can, like, they didn't just decide, like, oh, you know what? I've been in prison. Now I'm going to sexually assault people.
Right? Yeah, I know. I know there's this Latino thing called Gay for the Stay.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard it. I don't know if I should be saying that. Like, I feel like now they're going to put a hit on me, but that's a real thing.
I believe it. That makes sense. No.
No. No.
Well, that was an adventurous hour and change.
Yeah, it was fun.
If you like what you heard and you want to hear more, we have other episodes you can download. If you want to follow us and our ridiculous banter, you can follow me on Twitter at @DavidGoldenMMA or Jake at @UberSmitty on Twitter and Instagram and all things social media.
Yep.
Yeah. If you have any questions or comments or you want to just talk smack, hit us up. If you would be so kind as to share this podcast with your friends, go on iTunes, give us that 5-star written review, or give us the review on Stitcher. You can review on Stitcher now. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Super easy. All you need is your email address. You put in your thing and give it a go. So hook us up. Get us some reviews.
Yeah.
And if you're pestering Jake about when his next fight is and you didn't listen to our last podcast, you can
you can just go fuck yourself.
Listen to our last podcast.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah.
According to Jake.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't hit me up on Twitter. Stance. asking me questions, and then I answer them. I tell you where the answer is, and you still ask me on Twitter. Guess what, buddy? I'm not typing it out for you. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. So don't text Jake questions either, because that means you have Google in your hand. Google it.
Yeah, you fuck.
All right. We'll talk to you all next time. Peace.